Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Marshall Kuchar, or Couture. I don't even know how to pronounce it. I always pronounce it differently for some reason. My family pronounces it Kuchar, and I kind of prefer Couture better. It just sounds better, but I'll go by either one. Also known as Complex in hip-hop circles. And this is the Escape Artists Podcast. What is going on, guys? How you doing? I'm doing all right. Yesterday was the 4th of July. And I was sort of productive. I tried to get some work done with do a live stream of me doing some inking on a page from the Monster Mini comic that I'm doing. And first I was trying to do some pencils. I got this new light recently, and I was, you know, it's kind of a brighter light, and I thought maybe it would help to show up the pencils on these live stream things and stuff, but it's still, you know, I don't know if it's brightness, because that's the factor, because it just kind of washes it out. It makes it too bright, so you can't see pencils. So I'm not sure if it's even possible, at least with the stuff I have, to even show pencils, the lighting and the camera and stuff that I have. I'm sure it's possible, but I guess I'm just gonna stick to inking when and if I do live video anymore, or even not live video. So yeah, I did that yesterday, which, trying to get that all set up, cut into my time, and also editing it, and so that took time. So there's a lot of things that took time that, of course, once again, technology getting in my way of creativity, and so I didn't actually get any new pages done yesterday. I did try to work on it a little, but I never really ended up getting to it. So that, it is what it is, but you know, I was able to get some other stuff done. I put out, you know, a little couple bit of music and stuff that I did a few years back. So, you know, I tried to publish some stuff, tried to get some things done, but wasn't as productive as I wanted it to be. Anyways, it was cool to do a live stream, though. Javier Hernandez of Hobzilla.com came by and said hi, talked to me a little bit in the chat. Well, that was the other thing, the chat was annoying, so I might not use Ustream next time. I might try a different one, because I don't like how the chat function works. You have to keep refreshing it, and I'll be going along for a while and not even realize people are commenting and stuff. So yeah, but yeah, Javier Hernandez came by and talked for a little bit, and Demophon as well, Jono Demophon at Demophon on the Twitters. That's Demophon. I still don't know what his website is. I've been to it a bunch of times, but for some reason I don't remember the URL. I'll have to put it in the show notes. So yeah, he came by, and that was cool to talk to him. Asked him a question about doing the Foldy comics and printing and stuff, which has been another thing that's been kind of tough. I guess what he does is, because the thing with them is you can't just, like, print them so they go to the edge of the page, because the way printers work, I guess. So what he does is he'll print them, and then he'll trim them down a little bit where the margin is. So I might have to do that next time. For these ones I got, there's just a margin there, so it is what it is. But yeah, they still look cool. And I mean, how much work are you gonna put into a little Foldy comic that you'll maybe sell for like 25 cents a piece at a convention, or probably just give away, you know, for free. I mean, you want, even if you give stuff away for free, you want it to be, to look good, but, I mean, it's a foldy comic. Just the fact that it's one piece of paper that's folded, you know, that already is kind of, a quality issue. I don't know if it's a quality, it's, but, you know, it's not, like, bound like a normal book, so it's different, like, I don't think it demands perfection in printing quality, just kind of by the very nature of it. So mine kind of comes out like a DIY type of thing, you know, and I'm cool with that. You know, you look at old like punk records and stuff, maybe even new punk records. I don't know if punk music, if they, how many people still do a lot of that, like pressing your own stuff and zines and stuff and all that, but you know, you can see it's put together with whatever means people have, whether it's Xeroxing or whatever, you know. So yeah, I'm down with that. I like I said in an earlier podcast, I like stuff that looks kind of rough and sketchy and stuff like that, so it goes fine with my style, I guess, you know. So anyways, that's not the stuff I wanted to talk about so much, but it's just an update of what I was up to this week and yesterday and stuff. So yeah, what I did want to talk about is, I was just listening to another episode of 48 Days by Dan Miller, that podcast, and he was talking about your passion, which is what he talks about a lot, finding your passion. That's a huge theme in his podcast. It's all about finding, you know, the stuff that is like your unique, you know, you're basically the thing that's unique about you and what you're passionate about, and turning that into income and stuff. And you hear that obviously on a lot of these sites and things talking about you got to find your passion and do that, and that'll, you know, do what you love and then the money will follow, that whole idea, which is true, I think, to a certain extent. But I wonder if there's kind of a counter argument to it, you know. Like, are we too close to the things we're passionate about? I don't know. Like, I'm passionate about my music and my art. For a long time, my music passion was way stronger, or I shouldn't say stronger, but it was just something I focused on a lot more than the art stuff. And, you know, I did a lot of work with it. I put albums out, I tried different tactics to market it and to get it out there, and, you know, there's a lot of things I didn't do that I could have done too. I wasn't so focused on doing shows, I was more focused on marketing it online and getting it, you know, played in places. And, you know, for a while I was kind of lazy with it. And then I realized that, you know, if I'm going to do anything with this stuff, it's going to require a lot more work. So, you know, I have given it a lot of, you know, work. You know, basically, sometimes you come to a point where you wonder if you should keep doing something, you know, or, you know, that's one thing that Dan Miller was talking about. You know, somebody was asking him about, you know, he's been doing something for so long and he hasn't been able to actually make money with it and stuff. And he said, you know, should I quit? Or no, what it was a job that he does that he hates, I think. But either way, he was just saying, you know, if you're working on something for a long time, you know, it's possible that, yeah, you can be passionate about it. You could have a lot of different passions, but not every passion you have needs to generate income. You know, some things should just be left in Hobbyland, you know. And that idea is freeing to a certain extent, and it's discouraging to a certain extent, because I've put so much effort into the music stuff and worked hard at it, but seen very little results. You know, you work really hard to put out an album. It takes a lot just to create the product and to create the music and do it in a way that you feel proud of it, and it's not just like selling out or anything. And you know, it takes a lot of work, and you get to the point where you finally put it out and you don't get anybody buying it, and you wonder, you know, I mean, yeah, I did it for myself, I did it because I love to make music, but you know, I didn't make any money from it. So you don't wonder, why am I even doing this, but you do wonder, why am I working so hard at something that isn't really working? And, you know, granted, there's a lot of things I could have done to make it go better than it has, but, you know, I don't really have people asking me about my music that much. But I do have people always asking me about my art. People always remember that I'm an artist and always compliment me on my art and stuff. And a lot of these things that I'm saying comes from like family and stuff. Or just people who know I've done art in the past and stuff. But they, you know, once in a great while somebody will ask me about my music, but it's rare. And it's really weird to me that that's the case, because like, I listen to my music and I listen to other people's music, and maybe it's just because I'm biased, but like, I think my music's pretty cool. Like, I don't know, I mean, I don't think I have like an extremely prideful attitude about it, but I do like do my best to look at it objectively, and I think it's pretty good. I mean, especially when I see other people doing well with their music, and you know, I wouldn't want to put them down or whatever, but I mean, as far as artistically, lyrically, and the way the beats sound and stuff, like, I feel like my stuff's like miles ahead of their, like, sometimes. Not everybody, there's a lot of people who are way better than me, but you know, I'm certainly not at the low end, you know, as far as you know, quality and skill go. There's some people who, like, I wouldn't even really necessarily want to do a song with. I mean, I would, because I just like collabing, and people are more important to me than their skills and stuff, you know. So just on a humanity basis, I'll work with just about anybody, because if you're just a cool person, if you've been, you know, supportive or whatever. So, you know, I don't know. All I'm saying is I feel like my stuff, my music is decent, you know, and I'm surprised that I don't get much feedback often. I mean, I do. I get feedback. You know, some people say they like it. And I'll never stop doing my music because I love it so much. And it is a passion. But I'm certainly taking my focus and shifting it, you know, from music to more, way more onto the art side these days. Because when I go into the art realm, first of all, I like the community in the art realm a lot more. The music, the thing with music, there comes way more, and maybe I'm just not in the right circles, but in my, from what I can tell, there's a lot more ego when it comes to music. Maybe it's because music is way more mainstream than comic books. And so those who have made it or are trying to make it need more, more than just ability. They need, which you do need in the comic stuff too, but like, you kind of need like that to show that confidence. And there's that cool factor too, like musicians have to be cool, basically. They have to be like in the in crowd, kind of. Even the ones that are supposedly misfits or whatever, or like oddballs or whatever, they, you know, it, there's something to the music thing where it's, it seems like you kind of have to have that cool factor in one way, shape, or form. It might be an unconventional cool factor or whatever, but, you know, and I'm not really like that. I don't know. I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm uncool or something and get pity or anything like that. I'm not really talking about that. I'm confident in who I am, but I'm just not the type of person to just like rely on that. And I've never really been the type of person to fit in to a lot of circles, you know. Even I remember at school, like, I would kind of migrate from group to group, you know. I would hang out with some of the cool kids, and I'd hang out with the geeks, because, like, I didn't feel like, I've never been the type of person who cares about that stuff. I always thought it was silly that there was all these groups that I migrated to. I just was cool with everybody for who they were. And maybe that made me unique and different, even to the point where people kind of get a weird vibe from me because they're not sure which group I'm in, I guess. I don't know. But I never let social boundaries, you know, I always crossed the social boundaries, you know, without caring. So that's that, you know. The cool factor isn't something that I've been good at, so I think maybe that has affected my music, maybe. You know, in the hip-hop genre, there's the whole idea that, you know, it's predominantly, you know, African-American people, you know, and you have to kind of, if you're a white guy, you gotta kind of act like them. If you're a woman, you gotta kind of act more male because it's more of a male thing. And, you know, that whole junk, you know, the stupid stuff there with stereotypes. And I'm just not a stereotype type of person. You know, when I rap, there's a little bit of conformity that goes with it because, I don't know, you can't help it. Like, you just want to sound good and... But it's mild when it comes to me. You know, I try not to sound like somebody who I'm not. I try to say stuff the way I would say it. And that might be part of why I don't get much attention either. Because most people who do this, whether they're white or black or woman or male, you know, they do try to fit into a certain mold. Even if they say they don't, they still do. You can hear it in their voice and the way they say stuff, so. And, you know, so it is what it is. And maybe there is an audience out there for me, and maybe I'll find it. but maybe not caring and not pushing for it is the avenue. And you know, it's funny, like that was the original question I was asking, you know, is not caring a tactic almost? Like, you hear that sometimes. You hear people who have become successful with whatever it is they're doing, they you know, they talk about working so hard and trying to do this and trying to do that until the point where they just didn't care anymore, and that's when stuff started to happen. So I don't know. I wonder why that is. I think maybe it's just being too close, being too intimate to what we're into. And I can, maybe that's why I do better with the art stuff, because I can take that step back a lot more easy. For some reason, it's not like I'm passionate about it, but I'm not like obsessive about it. And maybe that's where the key is, you know? Because obsessive, clingy personalities, you know, those type of people, a lot of times I notice people, you know, that kind of personality actually repels people. Like, people don't want to be around those kind of people because they already got enough on their plate, and they feel like this person's just going to load on a bunch of baggage onto the relationship that's going to bog them down or something, I guess. It seems like that's kind of the case. And maybe psychologically, that's kind of how it works. You know, with the music and the art thing, when you care too much, when you're too obsessive, you know, people might get that vibe and feel like they might be bogged down by your music. People don't want that. They want to be entertained. They want it to be something where, like, that's an escape. Escape Artist Podcast. And, you know, a lot of times when people are extremely intentional with their music and art, and maybe too intimate with it, they're not as successful. And then you see people who kind of have a much more rough approach to it, sometimes doing better, like, or stuff that's maybe lighthearted, content that's more lighthearted is maybe does better, and people like that vibe, they like that energy, you know. So I think with the art stuff and the comics, for some reason, I don't have that obsessive thing going on that maybe I had with music. Like with music, I can get really geeky about like lyrics and how songs are put together and structure and like things that, you know, even a lot of my peers don't even care about. Like if I try to go in kind of like art and story style, like the old art and story podcast, and get really detail oriented into, you know, like Jersey talks about how he's passionate about sound effects with comics and stuff. Like there's this whole like science to how he designs a sound effect to put into his music or his comics. And he even has like a whole workshop about it and stuff. And he gets really kind of geeky about it. And I think that kind of stuff is cool. But, you know, not everybody wants to get that deep into it. They just want to read the comic, be entertained, and put it down and go on to the next comic or something. Who knows, you know? So, you know, I wonder if, you know, that's kind of a, thing that I don't have so much with comics and art. Like, I love doing it, but I don't get that way about it. So, and I mean, I am still kind of that way. The thing is I can't like that, there's that attitude of like maybe being like a traditionalist or what do they call it, there's a word for it, I can't think of the word, but anyways, you know, I just kind of think that being too close to your work is not always so good. In some ways it is, in some ways it isn't. And I wonder if it affects our effectiveness and our success with our art. Another thing is we tend to focus so much on the making of the art or the comic or whatever because that's what we're into. And a lot less on the marketing, the plan and strategy of how you're going to put this stuff out. I know when I make stuff, I get really excited and I can't help it. Like, I keep telling myself I'm going to like delay when I publish it and do it in a way that's planned out and not just put it out right when I like seconds after I make it. And there's some things that you can do that with, like sketches or something. But, you know, a lot of times I'll just put it out there. And, you know, that's not necessarily the best plan. So we tend to spend a lot more time on the craft of it and a lot less time on the marketing and the selling of it. And there's the whole stigma when you're an artist that, you know, if you're trying to sell stuff or you're trying to sell products around your work, like t-shirts and, you know, whatever, mugs, I don't know, stickers, then you're kind of selling out. That happens a lot, maybe more with music. I'm always seem to kind of be on the fence about that whole issue, like, but I think what I figured out is I do it for the love, you know? Whether or not I'm selling it, I'm doing it for the love, and I'll do it regardless of if I sell a lot. But the thing is when people, you know, businessmen or women or whatever, when they, you know, put together something, the putting together of the actual product is a small percent of the work. Like, they're just doing that so they have something to sell. I don't know, like, sometimes they may be passionate. Sometimes, a lot of times, they'll either have an idea and have somebody else create it, or they'll just use somebody else's whole idea and creation, but buy it and or license it and sell it. So almost 100% to, like, I don't know, maybe 80 to 100% of their work is generally going to go into the selling and the planning and the marketing and the advertising and all that stuff. And, you know, the accounting and, like, that's where the heart of the business is. And that's kind of tough for us artists because we're so into the craft part. We want to put 100% of the time, 90 to 100% of the time into, you know, making it because that's what we love. And we want to make more stuff. And we have so many ideas that we can't get to them all in our lifetime. And what a lot of times a business person will do is they just want to find one good idea and then they just want to market the crap out of it, you know, sell the crap out of it. And, you know, that's part of where we fall short, I think, with getting our stuff out there. I don't think it's the only way, you know, to put that much emphasis on the selling and stuff and less on the craft. I think maybe there's a little especially now with the internet kind of leveling the playing field and all that, there's ways to insert craft into more of that work, where it can maybe at least be 50-50. Like with blogging and putting stuff on social networks and all that. But I think we do need to emphasize the marketing stuff a lot more than we generally do. And I do see some people doing that. So I'm trying to look at those examples. Because what we need to do is establish in our heart and soul, you know, whether you believe in that or however you think about how all that works. I'll call it heart and soul, I guess, but we need to establish that within us, that we are doing it for the love. Just kind of let, you know, just know that. If you're listening to this, I would imagine you've probably done this for years and years and years in some way, shape, or form without sometimes even any thought of money. Some of you have marketed it strongly, and some of you have had some success with it. Some of you may even be making a living at your art and music right now. But I think what probably is common with all of us is, whether we understand it or believe it or not, we do it for the love. Primarily, you know, and we're not selling out. I'm pretty sure that's what most of us are, who may be our audience of this. I can safely say that that's probably the case, I think. So keep that established, and maybe try to be a little more strategic about your plan. That's what I'm trying to do. And at the same time, if that's not the issue and you're already way past that, which I'm getting more past that more and more every day, so you got that established, you know, that's good. And now the point is, the thing that maybe is holding you back from putting a lot more into the marketing and all that is, you just would rather do your craft. You know, I mean, that's what you do it for the love, and you do it because of it. And maybe the question to ask is, should you even try to market it? You know, or maybe it's okay to market it even if it's just a hobby, but you know, should you try to make a living off of it? Like, is it really a worthwhile thing to do? Is that killing your creativity? For me, I'm still hanging on to it. I'm still hanging on to the fact that I'd like to make a living out of my art and my music. That's something that will be hard to give up if I have to give that up. But I'm not ignoring it, that could be the possibility. I know that whatever it is that I should be doing to make a living, it really should be something different than what I've done in the past and what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'm happy for the job that I have. I'm glad that I've been able to survive beyond a lot of people who have come and gone from the place I work at. I feel fortunate that I'm still there and I make as much as I do. But I'm not making anywhere close to what I need to make. I'm barely scraping by, you know, trying to pay bills and stuff. And I actually had a bad dream last night about, like, couple of my tires blowing or something on my car, and oh no, you know, how am I going to pay for this? I definitely don't have any backup money for that, you know. I have things wrong with my car right now that need to be fixed. There's a lot of things going on right now that if a couple factors changed, I would be kind of screwed, you know, because we barely have enough money to get by. And again, I'm not saying this for it to be a pity party, but this is kind of what this podcast is about, journaling those things, being honest about it and transparent about it. You know, that's kind of what I'm always have been about anyways. And so that's just the reality. But like I said, I know that I don't want to be doing what I'm doing to make a living if I can help it at all in the future. And maybe art and music isn't this going to be the center of my business plan. Maybe it'll be part of it. Maybe it'll be a variation of it. Right now, though, I am full steam ahead working at doing the art thing, you know. I got to give it a good go. I gave the music a pretty good go. Not seeing enough traction there to really push it like I'd like to. I will always push it, and I'm hoping that my strategy can be kind of that 1-2 punch of art and the music, so that my music will support kind of advertise my art, and my art will advertise my music. It'll be kind of back and forth thing. It's good to have those two things, at least in this point of, like, when you're publishing, you have a variety of things to publish in different formats and different ways. So it'll always be an aspect of that. But I'm definitely going to give art a good go, a much stronger push than I have in the past, and let music kind of fall into the background and just be kind of a part of that, but not the focus. Although I do have projects that I am working on, and I actually probably will be much more active with music than I ever have been, if things go according to plan, just because even in the hobby realm, I can't help but do it. You know, I just love it. You know, I love making music, and I have so many ideas to do it, of what I want to do. So I'll never let it go. It'll always be there in hobby land. But as far as the marketing and trying to make money thing, I'm definitely leaning more towards the art thing. And I just did a commission for Nathan Seabolt. If you follow me anywhere, you know about it. I've uber published about it. I apologize for posting so much. I did this live stream, and the way I did it, like, every time I posted it like twice. Plus, if you're connected to me on Facebook, you're already getting it through my Facebook page and my Facebook profile, and then I post it on Comic Projects group and Sketch Daily group. A lot of times I post these things, so, and then if you're on Twitter, you're getting it, you know. So I try to keep it lean, but it's hard because you want to get your stuff out, and sometimes that pressure gets to me and I just push things out. And then DeviantArt too, and there's so many platforms, and if you're connected to me with all of them, you're going to see it a lot. And there's that thing of repetition that, you know, is good in marketing as well. So maybe it's a good thing, but I have a feeling I'm probably bothering people too, so I don't know. But yeah, I did a commission, my first commission for Nathan Seabolt. He asked me to do my elephant character Tusk, or anything that I felt like doing really for the commission. So what I ended up doing was kind of a little battle scene page. He got a what I'm calling a convention style sketch commission on plain white computer paper. And I had a lot of fun with it. I really liked the image that I came up with it, and he likes it. He's already seen it. I'm going to send it out today in the mail. And that was really fun. So I'm hoping to get some more of these sketch commissions, and sketch card commissions and all that stuff, because they're fun, and I look forward to drawing things and being challenged with things to draw, so, and create. So the commissions are up. I got my commission page up there. If you go to my site, plexhop.com, and on the sidebar, there's a little thing that says commission. If you would like to do that, that's cool. Like I said, yeah, you know, please don't. I'm not trying for pity. I'm not trying to get, like, pity buys or anything like that. Only do it if you're into it. You know, I'm not pushing it like that, you know. I do it for the love, so, you know, it is what it is. I'm not looking to, I don't think I'm going to make a fortune, you know, tomorrow with this stuff. This is kind of just a stepping stone to other things and trying to get into the habit of working hard on my art, and even getting a little money is encouraging to see that people will actually pay for stuff, so. Yeah, so that's up, and yeah, so that's the question. It's kind of an open-ended question. Hopefully you got something from this, but yeah, I'd love to hear any response from this, you know. In the comments section, you can comment, or you can call in, or if you're a podcaster, you could do a response podcast to this. But are we too close to our art? You know, are we too intimate with it? Do we get too obsessive? Is that not good? You know, anything around that subject, you know, it's interesting. I think about it from time to time, and I'm not sure, you know. So, yeah, thank you for listening to the Escape Artist Podcast, and I will be talking to you next week. All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye.